Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Dorsey Wright podcast. My name is Ben Jones.
And I'm Amy Kemp.
Thank you for joining us. I think we have an exciting discussion today. And as we were thinking about ideas, one idea that Amy brought to the table is, let's have a discussion on technology.
Yeah. Not necessarily iPads and computers, but more the sector itself, which
exactly.
I think has separated itself from the others on several different indicators within the site. And whenever we see consistency, I think it gives us more conviction in terms of the strength and the leadership that's intact. And leadership in technology, first of all, is not something new, right? We've seen technology be in the top of the sector rankings of Dolly, along with being a favored sector. Some of the subsectors like software and internet have been kind of in the green for quite some time. But within the last month or so, as we've seen a pullback, I don't even think we really have hit a 5% pullback yet, but
Feels like it to some.
Yes, yeah. It does. It feels like it. And the calls we're getting are a little concerning from some people just because they're so used to the market having gone up consistently since November.
Well, what was it? I mean, I think there was a streak of, over 100 days without a 1%.
That hadn't happened since like the late 80s, I think. But nonetheless, the technology and the large growth space has held up really well. So we did see initial reversals down on the bullish percent for the NYSE and really all of the bullish percents. So the small cap, the mid cap, even the S&P 500, but the BPOTC, which is the over-the-counter or perhaps more better known as just kind of those NASDAQ-listed stocks, that is still in excess. So the BPOTC is the only major market bullish percent that has not reversed down into O's yet, meaning that we're still in wealth accumulation mode, and it's sitting at 58%. So you're seeing more than half of those stocks on buy signals right now.
Right, and we think about just, you know, NASDAQ in general. Just let's say you look at the NASDAQ composite index. I mean, it's about 50% is information technology in that technology sector. There is some telecom there. The other two big sectors would be consumer discretionary and healthcare. But, you know, really what is keeping that particular bullish percent in X's and in offense is really, you know, the strength in technology that you were talking about. I mean, if you think about what has been one of the stable trends, you know, since I think really you and I started here at Dorsey Wright as interns back in 2008, has been technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, leading off of that market bottom, you saw the technology sector move into some of our models, and in some models that we are still running, technology has been in position that entire time. And if you look at, let's say, Dolly today, you know, as you pointed out, you know, technology is the number one broad economic sector. It's been stable. It's been present. You know, while there has been rotation underneath the surface, you know, for example, healthcare, consumer cyclicals, you know, energy lately, you know, technology has held firm and true. So if you think about, you know, the NASDAQ composite, it's mostly information technology. And another really way that we track sectors, you know, outside of our matrix tools, outside of Dolly, is our group scores. Right. And, you know, every single mutual fund and ETF on our system has a score rating. It's a technical rating for a mutual fund or ETF. It goes from 0 to 6, 6 being the strongest. If we look at technology, so every single technology mutual fund, every single technology ETF, it's scoring at an average score of 5,
which is pretty significant. It just moved above that 5 level overnight, I believe. This is the first time the scores were developed when? Back in the early 2000s?
2004 is when we really started keeping track of it.
So this is the first time that it's printed above that 5 mark on the scores, which is significant. You know, Steve Raymond, who's the kind of the head mutual fund analyst here and helped to develop those scores, he watches those really closely, and he was saying, you know, had the scores existed in the late 90s, certainly we would have seen technology up above that level. So the strength that we're seeing in technology is very similar to what we had seen in the late 90s. Does that mean there's a bubble? That's usually the follow-up question. I don't know that we have enough evidence to point towards that. I think it's more just consistent leadership that you can really say is occurring. And you look at some of the individual stocks or some of the trend charts. You know, you think of those the FANG names,
right? So you kind of going after like what's leading the sector,
right? Exactly. So FANG was the Facebook, Amazon, or Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google. One name in there that, you know, maybe you switch out the A for Amazon now, because you take a look at that chart, and it's completed two consecutive shakeout patterns. And we had a debate in our research meeting earlier whether you can have two shakeout patterns in a row, because usually the shakeout is defined by that first sell signal in the uptrend. But nonetheless, you've gotten kind of these really nice triple top buy signals that have been occurring for the majority of the year, and the most recent one was just completed today with that breakout at 864. It's categorized within the internet sector. Obviously, we've got a technical attribute of 5, so it kind of checks all the boxes in terms of the type of stock that you would want to target or own within this market. And even within, you know, people will say, well, isn't that contradicting with the recent reversal down on the bullish percent, which technically puts us on defense? You know, as long as you're able to say that your stock is in a positive trend, it's on a buy signal, it's got support that you mm-hmm. can use. So if it were to kind of roll over here or correct, you've got an out that you feel comfortable with. You can kind of say yes to all of those things for a name like Amazon. And that's really what we're looking for. So, you know, with the OTC BP still in X's, the fund score above 5 for technology, and having technology still sitting in the number one sector level of Dolly, those are kind of several different indicators. They all work slightly differently. Relative strength and trend are going to be a component of all of those things. But the fact that we're getting kind of the same answer across the board, that's good. That's what really grabs your attention.
Yeah, exactly right. And so there's certainly a lot of different ways to play the trend, both absolute and relative, within the technology sector. One is being those individual securities, like playing Amazon. Another way would be, you know, through a model-oriented approach. You know, we do have the stock models available on the Dorsett Research platform for the different technology sectors. That actually, you know, they buy, let's say, 4 to 5 technology stocks. You know, one sector that has been strong is internet. You know, Amy mentioned that about Amazon. You know, other stocks in there is Bluecore, BCOR, WIX, is Wix. You know, Netflix is in there. So those are ways where you can capture a sector, but through a model rules-based approach. And also ETFs, you know, Amy, mm-hmm. is, you know, taking advantage of the sector by, you know, buying an ETF or mutual fund that owns a large basket of securities from that sector, mm-hmm. right? And when we look at, you know, the different sectors on the system, as we point out, technology just crossed above 5, and right behind it is internet. So you can, let's say, look at internet-based ETFs that own a basket of internet stocks to capture that exposure. And a lot of different, you know, ETF providers do offer you know, funds that target that sector. You know, just looking at the list right now, you can see, you know, First Trust and PowerShares are 2. You know, what's also interesting is that, you know, Crane Shares, which kind of specializes in you know, the Chinese equity market, there's a China internet ETF that's out there that you can actually, you know, capture exposure to Chinese you know, internet stocks. So, you know, that's 2 ways that we recommend looking at it, you know, from the individual security standpoint, or going using a more diversified approach, you know, using ETFs or mutual funds.
Yeah, if you want just even broader exposure, I mean, the Qs are certainly one solution. The PowerShares QQQ Trust, which is symbol QQQ, 5.76 square. That thing is up over 11% this year. So while kind of the S&P and the Dow have stalled out a little bit or hovered, it's continued to move higher. You can also look, you know, I think even though internet and software and those types of names are going to account for the majority of the individual stocks that are keeping things afloat, the semiconductors subgroup is also categorized within the broad technology space, and that certainly has helped it in terms of score, but also in those Dolly rankings. So if you click on the technology group and you pull up the ETFs that are categorized within technology, you see a lot of the semiconductor things have the higher scoring fund scores with them. So PSI is the symbol. That's the PowerShares Dynamic Semiconductors ETF, and that's scoring almost a perfect 6 at 5.91. The chart has normalized after getting to a point where it was really overbought. That looks interesting as well, I think.
Yeah, and with the back to the Qs, you know, for a second, it's over 50% you know, technology. And when you look at the, you know, from a performance standpoint, a valuable resource on the research platform is our percentile rank rankings that we use in our scores. And if you look at the Qs right now on a 12-month, you know, trailing basis, you know, it's outperforming 88% of every single ETF from each fund on the system.
Wow.
Right. And it just shows you the strength in technology, right, as well as the strength in that large cap growth space. You know, if you are looking at, you know, some of our size and style rankings, you know, growth is where the tilt has been lately, with a particular bent to you know, large growth. It's been an important, you know, style box this year. You know, if you look at the average large cap growth fund, it's scoring around 3.67. So you can use these average scores as benchmarks, as bogeys. So if you're looking at ETFs or funds on the system, you know, compare your fund to that peer group. And so if you're owning a large cap growth fund, you know, make sure it's above that 3.67 level. You know, we also see strength in small growth as well, which is averaging around 4.13. And if you go to those style boxes or those size and style boxes, you know, and you look at those funds that are scoring well, you know, let's say within small growth or within large growth, they have a bent towards technology.
Just some other things to mention before we kind of wrap up here, some things that we've noticed going on this week. I think the move yesterday from energy in Dolly from the number 4 ranked spot, 4 out of 11 sectors, it's now moved down to 5. So telecom has moved in. It's officially kind of out of the top 4 at this point, and we're continuing to see that that sector give up signals. From a global equity standpoint, the emerging market space continues to be a place to watch and is really making a case for itself for having some sort of allocation within your equities in the portfolio. The scores are rivaling with some areas of the U.S. equity space. We saw a reversal up into X's on the chart of the SPY versus the EEM. So there's lots of interesting things to watch. I mean, we've seen Russia kind of decline within that space, but emerging Asia has picked up to help keep the overall score afloat.
Yeah, and it's been broad, too, within the emerging markets, not just focused to one continent or one region or one style of market. Within emerging markets, I mean, you see India doing well. You see Latin America. You see China. You mentioned Russia, which has cooled off a bit. But yeah, I mean, these emerging market funds are quite competitive right now. What's also interesting, too, is that it's not just equity. Emerging market debt crossed above the important, you know, 3-score threshold as well. So, you know, we not only are seeing opportunities within the equity realm for emerging markets, but also within fixed income, you know, using emerging market income funds as a way to capture emerging debt exposure. You know, that is an area that is quite competitive right now with some of the other high-scoring areas of fixed income, which are more equity-oriented, like convertible bonds, like corporate high yield. And then right below those two, it's emerging market income within the fixed income space, making it the third highest scoring fixed income group today.
All right. Well, I think that probably wraps it up for today. The only other thing we'll leave you with is if you haven't signed up and you have an interest in attending the Vegas Institute out in obviously Las Vegas, it's May 4th and 5th. We are leaving registration up for a couple more days. There are a few spots left to be had. Ben and I will both be there. And
what will they learn?
Well, you will learn. You will come away feeling like you have just had a drink from a fire hose. There's no shortage of topics that will be discussed. We've kind of revamped the agenda this year for those of you who may have attended in the past. So we're kind of following a building a service-based business workflow. So every presentation will kind of build on the previous one, and then day two will be dedicated to some breakouts where you can get in smaller groups and interact a little bit more closely with the analysts.
Yeah, so, and some just as a teaser, some the titles of some of the presentations, the topics, you know, you have, you know, the foundation of managing risk, you know, adding value through relative strength rotation, of course, you know, individual position management, and just a wealth of other topics. I mean, it's going to be exciting. Definitely, you know, please attend if you want to take the use of the Dorsey Wright system to the next level. If you're definitely interested in making it an integral part of your business, you know, these broker institutes are a fantastic resource to really allow you to do that.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week.